The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
All right, morning enthusiasts. Do you struggle to get out of bed in the morning? How about losing your energy by midday? Do you experience brain fog in the morning or lack of motivation? Well, you are not alone. I heard you loud and clear, and that's why I created the Hit Savers app. I have great news. It is live. So go to the Google Play Store and the Apple Store to download it for your best morning routine ever. You'll get more energy, mental clarity, productivity, and it will even position you to find your purpose. That's right. Hit Savers will prime you to get up, dress up, and show up in your life every single day. Go to www.luneedlewis.com/hitsaversapp to download it for free today. I'll see you in there. Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Luneed Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Hannah Mason. Hannah is a vitality coach and author. She guides others towards a life of vibrance, clarity, and joy through her personal growth, nutrition, and wellness practice. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I am thrilled to have you on the show. Looking forward to hear about your story. I know we were just talking and you're just coming back. You're in Mexico right now and you're about to fly to Israel and you had a retreat. Tell us about how energized that makes you feel.
So it was just really incredible to feel like incredibly guided. And it was like, I don't know, it was just like the hands of God was inside of me and I was just kind of doing my job. It didn't feel like it took a tremendous amount of effort or thought. It was just in a total state of flow. And it was really incredible to connect with so many different, it was a women's retreat, to connect with so many different unique people who are all really different and are coming from different places, different ages, different backgrounds, but all interested in connecting more to themselves and to personal growth. And the culture here is not necessarily so open to people getting super vulnerable. But so that was something I really worked very hard on in the retreat, and people went with it. They got really vulnerable with themselves, with each other. There's a lot of touching moments and crying and hugs, a lot of hugs. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, that's how you know you're doing what you are designed to do. When it flows, when you're in the flow, it's just like a third spirit comes over you and then it just guides you through it. You're like, whoa, who was that? What just happened?
Totally.
It's really fantastic. So how did you get started? Because I know you now live in Israel. You was born in Bogota, Colombia, and was in Miami for a while. And so you have been kind of internationally traveling around. And are you doing this now that you're a vitality coach? Are you still traveling, doing the retreats all over the world?
So I realized literally like 2 days ago that I've traveled internationally pretty much every year of my life, which is kind of crazy. And living in Israel, the community that we live in is very strongly driven by a desire to live with authenticity and purpose. And people really ask a lot of deep questions, and the conversations that we have with our peer group are on a pretty deep level. We also have a really great time. We have fun and we sing and we dance and we laugh and everything. But there's something really authentic about the connections that people have with each other. So that's something that's been incredibly nourishing for me and that has encouraged me to constantly be growing and to seek to open my heart and connect to myself and connect to other people. And that's something I really wanted to bring to other people. Mm-hmm. And I've always had a vision of wanting to do retreats, but I hadn't actually ever done one. And a student of mine from Israel who lives in Mexico told me multiple times, you have to come to Mexico. You have to come to Mexico. So I was like, okay, I'll come. and she, it's two students of mine actually, organized the retreat. So they did everything on the ground, which was incredible because it's not something that I can do internationally. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there were about 40 participants. It was really incredible.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that it's not a culture where vulnerability is welcomed, and you were able to actually tap into that. And everyone was so received. Well, it was well received. It sounded like, you know, people were tapping into their emotions. They were opening up, and like, we need that. Yet society tells us it's tabooed in a way. Like we're not supposed to be open up like that. Emotions are bad. If vulnerability is bad. And that causes us to experience life to the fullest, if you think about it. Because it's okay to be angry, but it's not okay to enjoy or smile too long or be happy for too long when a blessing takes place.
Yes, actually, that's what I've noticed is it's more vulnerable for people to laugh than to cry.
Yeah.
And I'm a laughter yoga instructor. It's kind of one of the tools I have in my tool belt. And so I decided to run a laughter yoga session very close to the end of the retreat because I knew I had to build up people's comfort and vulnerability. And a little bit nervous doing it because I've had some laughter yoga sessions that haven't gone super great, where people were kind of intimidated and closed, mm-hmm. where laughing felt so hard for them. Like they just couldn't muster the courage to laugh, which is so interesting because it feels like such a simple thing to do. But this group was absolutely fabulous to the extent that I took them to what for me is like the climactic moment of laughter yoga, which is getting people on the ground. So they're really kind of all of their defenses are down. When you're lying down on the ground, it's like you can't defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And each person had their head on the stomach of another person. Mm. So every time you laugh, the person whose head is on your stomach, their head is like bobbing. and so, yeah, exactly. So it's like really contagious. And it took a lot of time to get them to stop laughing so we could move on to the next activity, which was really awesome. One of the women told me that I didn't know she was suffering from clinical depression. And in addition to so many other transformative moments she had during the retreat, she said it was the first time she laughed in years. She can't remember the last time she laughed.
Wow.
And she laughed for half an hour straight. So it was really cool.
Yeah. In your line of work, why do you find it that people can't live the joy, success, and intimacy that they're looking for?
So there's sort of two drives that we have as human beings. One is the drive to survive, and the other is the drive to thrive. Mm-hmm. And in order to be able to thrive, you have to feel like your survival is taken care of. So if you don't have food, it really doesn't matter. Like you're not going to be concerned about reading philosophy if you're hungry. If you're hungry, you're just constantly going to be thinking about food.
Yep.
And definitely we can get to like higher states of consciousness where you're, you know, thinking about doing good for the world and thinking about philosophical things, even though you're hungry and thirsty and tired and all of that. That's true. But in general, as human beings, there's, you know, kind of the more animalistic part of us that's just like wants to just exist and survive, you know, just keep our bodies going. And that part of us craves safety more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so it will keep us closed in order to protect us from getting hurt, because vulnerability by definition opens you up to getting hurt. The problem is that vulnerability is also the only way that you can have intimacy in your life.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean sexual intimacy. I mean any kind of intimacy. It's the only way that learning happens. It's the only way that growing happens. It's the only way creativity happens is when you open yourself up to vulnerability. So it's this paradox where in order to thrive, you have to be vulnerable. But in order to survive, you have to be willing to risk vulnerability.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to not be safe.
Yeah, because then how else will you grow? Because it is the same wall that you're building to protect yourself is the same wall that's keeping you from intimacy. It's keeping you from laughter. It's keeping you from those relationships. It's keeping you from that growth and even that partnership too, because we can get on our own way.
So for me, the solution and something that I did, which, you know, your listeners can also do even in this moment, something I did a lot with the group is have people put their hand on their chest, close their eyes, and imagine all of their, you know, some of we have like scattered energy, you know, there's like part of you thinking what's making for dinner, and there's part of you that's in your office, and there's part of you that's like thinking about the stuff you have to organize in your house. Like your energy and your mental energy can be scattered outside of your body. Mm-hmm. So to put your hand on your chest and imagine all of that energy gathering itself back together under your hand. And it takes a few minutes to do that. And then there's a point where you feel so settled. And Oprah Winfrey, she talks about how great it is to be full of yourself. And it's like, this to me is an exercise to get you back to being full of yourself. And in that place, you experience total and ultimate safety. And you understand that ultimately you're safe, mm-hmm. that your body might get hurt and somebody might say something mean. But like in when you're present with yourself, you're okay. Everything's always okay. Mm-hmm. So getting people back to that place of safety over and over and over again gave them more courage to then be more vulnerable again. So that was kind of going back and forth to courage and then building safety and courage and building safety.
Mm-hmm. And so that's your way of empowering the clients, the audience to in the retreat.
Yeah. And also creating a space where they felt like they could trust the other people in the room. And so if they did something a little scary, like the first day of the retreat, we had a dance class. And I said that it was going to be a dance class, and I decided not to make it a dance class, that each woman was going to, for a few minutes, go into the center of a circle. And we had music playing, and she would dance, and everybody would just copy her. Mm-hmm. And that's a really vulnerable thing to do. And it's definitely not something that's done here. But every woman did it. It was really cool. They took the courage to take that step. And so it's like, once you take that courageous step, and then you see that you're held by the space, and that you're safe, and you're okay, then you can take the courage to take one more step and one more step. Mm-hmm. Courage is something you have to actually practice. Mm-hmm. It's a muscle that you work on.
How do you find that transcends into other areas of their lives? Because you work with them for a day or two, and in your previous clients, what have you heard? How is the empowerment that you've instilled in them, you've shown them the courage in that session, goes on with them to the rest of their life to be implemented in other areas?
So it's kind of like baby steps, you know, it's like every courageous step you take.
Yeah.
And it's also owning, you know, a lot of it has to do with owning yourself. So a lot of the retreat I taught, a lot of the work of inquiry, mainly based on the work of Byron and Katie. And so much of that helps people come back into themselves by recognizing that in every single circumstance, who they choose to be in the moment matters so much more than the circumstance. And anything that's upsetting them is really coming from their thinking. And their thinking, if they shift it, can bring back all of the power and the responsibility and empowerment back into themselves. And when we feel empowered, we also feel safer because we feel stronger and more capable. Mm-hmm. So working with people and helping them feel more empowered and more present within themselves, then they automatically feel safer.
Yeah.
It's like when they give over their power and they feel like victims, when we're victims to our circumstances, we feel insanely unsafe.
Yeah.
And we get sad and weak and violent because mm-hmm. we feel so unsafe. So empowerment and safety really come together.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see the correlation there, because it really, as you said earlier, if you're focusing on what am I going to eat, where am I going to lay my head, it's very hard to actually consider any other thought. It's hard to actually consider, okay, how can I thrive? How can I be alert of what I'm feeling at the moment? How do I assess my own emotions? How do I assess myself to adjust the situation? Because you are the decision that you make, how you bring yourself to the situation really determines how you solve the situation.
Mm, yeah.
Can you share with us some of your tools and strategies for helping others actualize their goals?
Ah, yes. So my husband's, we have this book called The Size of Your Dreams, which is such a fun book because it's a personal growth book. And usually like self-help books are kind of like they could be fun to read, but they tend to be very like step-by-step and kind of dry because nonfiction is just more dry. And we're really passionate about stories. We feel like people learn so much through story. And there's two reasons that is, because stories are just fun, but also stories give us the ability to do something that nonfiction doesn't do. And that is when you're reading a novel through the power of empathy, that's just part of your biology, you literally step into the shoes of the characters. So you get to live through their experiences and learn through their experiences as though you're going through it yourself. So it allows us to introduce a personal growth tool, and something we're doing is all of our series of educational novels. It allows us to introduce a personal growth tool to the reader in a way where they get to like try it on for, you know, like really try it on and see what it actually does to a character. And also in a way where different characters can argue about the ideas that we're presenting because different characters have different perspectives. And we're okay holding a paradox of perspectives and allowing and empowering the reader to sort of decide what works for them and what doesn't work for them. So there's a tool my husband made up. He calls the note card tool, which is basically, and it's something that I taught yesterday in the retreat, which is basically taking a note card, like, you know, like an index card from school, and top of the card writing, I intend to, and then writing down a goal with an end date. So for example, if someone wants to lose weight, I intend to lose 10 pounds by March 1st, 2020. And then under that, you write, in order to accomplish this, I will. And then step one, step two, step three, step four. And something we really delve deeply in the book with different characters using what we call an outcome card is really taking the time to flesh out, like, how do you clarify what are your steps and what are good steps and what are steps that don't function so well? And how do you recruit the people around you to support you and in coming up with steps and to support you in actualizing your steps and making them happen and maybe holding you accountable for them? And so that's something that I also did with the women in the group. Mm. And what you do with that card is you read it in the morning when you wake up. You read it as many times as you can throughout the day. You read it right before you go to bed. And you're literally programming your brain to constantly zone in to what's really important. Because otherwise we get distracted in so many different ways. But if you're constantly reminding yourself like, wow, this is my goal, this is really important to me, then you're constantly rechecking in. And your brain is constantly thinking about solutions to potential problems along the way or different steps that you can take to actualize your vision. And it just becomes more and more believable. Like you just keep brainwashing yourself into believing it, but it's in such a tangible way. It's not like heebie-jeebie, the secret stuff where you're just having a vision. It's all about the steps you're going to take to actualize that vision and reminding yourself that you have to do these steps.
Mm-hmm. Because we become what we think about. So what we focus on grows, what we focus on energy goes to it. And so the subconscious mind is constantly at work, giving us directions and steps on how to accomplish and attain the goal. Sometimes we just need to know what the goal is. And then we don't worry about the how. But if we're focusing on it and committed to it, the how will show up. I want to talk to you, Hannah, about your morning routine. You're so energetic. You're so enthusiastic. I want to know about how do you get up, dress up, and show up to do what you do?
So this morning was odd because I woke up at 3 a.m. But normally I wake up at around 5 a.m. and spend about half an hour sitting in meditation. And sometimes I use like a guided meditation that I have in my head, or I just watch my breath. And my husband and I usually do yoga together for about an hour. And then I have my prayer practice, which includes just like a typical Jewish prayer, which is very structured. But before I start my prayer, I have a whole series of affirmations that I say in my relationship with myself, with God, with humanity, with the universe, really trying to see myself as a light that I'm channeling divine light and bringing out into the world. And it was really cool to see how I've been like brainwashing myself to do this and how much it impacted me at the retreat. That was like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Like I'm really doing it. It's really cool. Because that collection of mantras and self-talk has been going for about a year. It was really cool to see it manifesting so clearly here. Yeah, we usually start the day with fruit or green juice or green smoothies. We have like light at the beginning of the day, like lots of fruit until lunchtime. And our lunches and our dinners look pretty similar. So we eat whole grains and legumes and vegetables and big salads. And somewhere in between, we'll have like a snack somewhere that's also like a really healthy snack. And we eat a plant-based diet. Based on all the research of how plant-based diets really support health and longevity and the functioning of the immune system. And since we started a plant-based diet a few years ago in our home, all of our health has improved significantly. So that's really cool.
Mm. Yeah. What are some of the benefits? You said you've been doing this for years. Does it help with, say, depression, anxiety, inflammation for the plant-based?
Yes. Yes. So one of the things that I do, I work with people who are dealing with inflammatory diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, obesity, depression, anxiety. So it's like so challenging because there's so many things that people don't know about nutrition, but nutrition has actually been shown scientifically to have a much, much bigger impact than any antidepressant. Mm-hmm. Because if we have a lot of inflammation going on in our heads, it's like the heads don't function so well. We don't get the sugar that we need. We don't get the oxygen that we need. And so things that just don't function as well. Also, we produce a tremendous amount of serotonin actually in our stomachs. Mm. And if our digestion's not functioning well, then the nerve endings there and the neurons there and the serotonin production there doesn't function as well either. So eating a whole food plant-based diet cures, you know, the vast majority of digestive disorders that I've dealt with clients, and helps people lose weight in a way that just feels like pretty simple and natural. Like, they don't have to be counting calories. It's just, you're just eating a whole food plant-based diet. Just like the weight just kind of comes off. Mm-hmm. They have more energy, more clarity of mind. And so for me, when I work with people mostly on their mental stuff, life goals, clarity of mind, living in a happier way, all of that for me comes together with nutrition, because if somebody's eating cheeseburgers all day long, it's going to be really, really difficult for them to have the clarity of mind that they need in order to feel happy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. You garbage in, garbage out. You are what you eat. And so if you're feeding your mind, you're feeding your body, proper nutrition, then you will be more effective throughout your day. This is a lot of great stuff that you provide your clients. It's a holistic approach because you do the nutrition into it as well, which is rare. Tell us, how can we connect with you?
Ah, okay. So, my website is hannahmason.com. And on the website, you can find my three books. One is Hold That Thought, that I wrote on my own. That's really teaching people clear tools for building clarity of mind and for mastering their thinking. And The Size of Your Dreams, which I wrote together with my husband, which is all about goal setting and self-esteem. And we just published a book last week. It's called The Cash Machine, that teaches people how to gain financial independence and learn about financial literacy through a novel. It's a love story. It's great. It's really fun.
Congratulations. Yeah, we'll put all that on the show notes for the listeners to get in contact with you.
Thanks.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
It was a joy. I really appreciate it. And thank you for keeping it brief. I do have another 1.5 hour.
Wow. Amazing. Great. Have a wonderful morning.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
All right, morning enthusiasts. Do you struggle to get out of bed in the morning? How about losing your energy by midday? Do you experience brain fog in the morning or lack of motivation? Well, you are not alone. I heard you loud and clear, and that's why I created the Hit Savers app. I have great news. It is live. So go to the Google Play Store and the Apple Store to download it for your best morning routine ever. You'll get more energy, mental clarity, productivity, and it will even position you to find your purpose. That's right. Hit Savers will prime you to get up, dress up, and show up in your life every single day. Go to www.luneedlewis.com/hitsaversapp to download it for free today. I'll see you in there.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.